messages on, you know, let me give this out before I forget. I'm forgetting. We have some Christian womanhood magazines. Boy, you guys get a lot of stuff given to you. I think this church thing's backward. I don't know. I thought that they're supposed to give that church, and you're all getting things from us. Christian womanhood magazine. We got some left here. I hope we have enough for one per family. All right, young men. I want to have the three handsome young men in the front row, and the fourth one, he'll keep writing. And all right, let's go hand these guys out. One per lady per family. And all right, and there you go, and there you go. And all right, good. I'm going to be in 2 Chronicles 17 if you want to turn there. It's starting to cool down a little bit in here. It's pretty warm, but we're working on it. So 2 Chronicles 17. Is it cooler in the back or no? It's hot back there. All right. You got that little fan somewhere? Is the little fan ditched or is it? I think I saw it in the coffee maker or something, but I don't know. All right. Good. 2 Chronicles 17. 2 Chronicles 17. Tonight we're going to talk about a man named Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was one of David's descendants. The order is David, and then David's son was Solomon, then Rehoboam, then Abijam, then Asa, and then Jehoshaphat. So about five generations down. And chapter 17, verse 1, and Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah, and the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord is with Jehoshaphat, because he had walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam. Balaam was a demonic idol they worshipped, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all of Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk a little bit about the life of Jehoshaphat. Our Father, thank you for the word. And Lord, we can see a person's lives and ups and downs and what you've done in their life and learn lessons for us. You said these things written for our admonition. They're a shadow of things that we live now and see now. And they're parables and illustrations. They're true stories, yet they're for us, lessons, and we see things that we can do. We see things that happened to a man who lived many thousands of years ago, yet we see the same God working behind the scenes, and we ask tonight that we'd have the wisdom to see in our own lives. And Lord, this message isn't points toward people, it's points about his life, so you're going to have to speak individually to people, and I pray that'd be the case. It seems like that's your plan, but whatever your plan is, we just pray you do according to your purpose, to your night, your church, your word, your people, whatever you want to do is fine. We just ask you to do it powerfully and to your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so with power, speak and help and change our lives and make us ready for this week, Lord, as we need strength as we'll face the devil this week and face the world and our flesh and all the other things. Lord, just prepare us to do great things for you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to jump right into his life. Here's a man, Jehoshaphat. And he did the good things in his life, and he started off well. First of all, he sought the Lord, and the Lord is with him. He sought the Lord, and the Lord is with him. Verse 3, it says, the Lord is with Jehoshaphat. When you see that phrase, the Lord is with him, you just know what's going to happen is they're going to begin to be blessed. And I want to just say, with everything in me, just for you to get this, as much as I can get this to you, there is nothing that will help you more. There's no priority you need to take care of anything in life like the priority of getting God with you. Everything, you will be, you're like a person, it's like a person who tries to take care of their own business, their own life, without God and without God's blessing. A Christian trying to do that is, you know what, you don't have an engine in your car, and you're just trying to do the Flintstones thing. I mean, it just, if you're old enough to know what that means, you're doing the Flintstones thing, you're trying to run, you're trying to push your car, because God is with you, and when you get God in there, you've all of a sudden got this powerful engine that just wants to go, and you have a full tank, and you're just ready to go. you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the devil has some way of turning us to, I've got too many things going right now. I can't take care of those spiritual things. I can't go to church, read a Bible, or pray, or go witness and do those things. I've got too many important things to do. And my life's too chaotic right now to take care of those things. No, your life's so chaotic because you didn't take care of those things. And when you turn it around, and you're just putting out fires when you put out one fire and another one pops up somewhere else. That's what your whole life will be without God's blessing on it. You will always be struggling because when the Lord's with you, the Bible says even your enemies are at peace with you. Yes. And so you just need to stop and say, wait a minute, I've spent too much time running and fighting and chasing and just, I need to get God to be with me. I need to please God. That's what I need to do. Because of that, his kingdom was blessed. It said the Lord is with Jehoshaphat, verse 3, because he walked in the first ways of his father David. He pleased God and sought not the way of Balaam and sought the Lord God of his father. He went and looked for God. I love the subject in the Bible of seeking God. And it's a great subject. I'm not preaching it tonight at all. But God's there. Yet when somebody seeks God, they look for God. They want more of God. They find God in a special way. And you can look that up in your Bible. Look up the word seek. You'll find that taught. Those who seek God, they don't just say, okay, hand me something and I'll eat it. I'll feed it. I'll take it. No, they want God. They long for God. They seek God. And God says, those who seek me early shall find me. And you'll find me when you seek after me with your whole heart. And the God seekers, the God chasers find God in a special sort of way. And verse 5, therefore the Lord established a kingdom in his hands. Because Jehoshaphat pleased God, because he did the right things, because God is with him, God established his kingdom. That's a lot of, when you're a king of a nation, Judah was a nation, when you got a whole kingdom to run, it's hard to keep up with all of it, but God just got it established, and your life gets established and when you put God first. And we see things that he did, steps that he took. God blessed his kingdom, and he took some good steps. First of all, in verse 7 through 9, he sent princes and Levites, who were the priests, to go around the nation and teach the people the Bible and organize them to serve God. Verse 7, also in the third year of his reign, he sent to the princes, even to Benani, and to Obadiah, and Zechariah, and to these other guys, to teach the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites. And verse 9, and they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. And went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. So he got the word of God out there and began to teach the people in the right way. Can I just tell you, this book in your life makes all the difference in the world. Get this book into people's lives. Get it into your life. If you know somebody's got a messed up life, buy them a Bible and have them start reading. I mean, just the Bible needs to be everywhere. The Bible needs to be in our lives. And he got them the Bible, and they started teaching the Bible. After that happened, God's fear fell upon all the nations around, and they were afraid, and they said, we better not mess with Jehoshaphat. God is with him. And so we had peace because the enemies knew that God is with him. Verse 10, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms and lands that were round about Judah. So they made no war against Jehoshaphat. And some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver, and the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. And he waxed great exceedingly and built castles and cities. Why? God was with him. The fear of God that people knew, there's something about him, don't mess with him, and don't mess with that nation. And then they said, you know what, let's just stay friends with him. Let's bring him a bunch of stuff. Jehoshaphat couldn't have made that happen by trying to act tough. And can I tell you, manipulation and trying to make your life a blessed life by manipulation is not going to work. But you get the presence of God, and the Lord just has a way of making things fall into place and things work together because that happened. And all those blessings from other nations came to him. And next, the people followed him. Verse 14, and these are the number of them. These are his followers and his soldiers according to the house of their fathers of Judah, the captains of thousands. Add another chief within the mighty men of valor, 300,000. Next to him was Johanan, the captain, with him 240,000, and next with him was Amishai, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord. You know, as a pastor, I hate to confess this, but normally, and this isn't always true, it's certainly not true always biblically, but it's more common, is when I'm right with God and doing what I should be doing, I find in the church people want to help do something for God and want to be a part of it and want to really do what they should do. And I'm not as doing all I should do and as close to God as I should be. I find that there are not a lot of people whose hearts are for God to do something. And these people, they willingly offer themselves unto the Lord to serve Jehoshaphat and to work with him, to protect him, and all those things. I want to say, if you want to be a leader, a dad, a mom, a leader of ladies, a leader of whatever you want to be a leader of, get God with you. Get the presence of God in your life. It'll make people around you begin to get stirred for God when you're right. And don't try to browbeat everybody else until you've made sure you're right. When you're right, God's blessing just makes those around you seem to start getting a heart for God. The fire from you kindles on other people, and they get lit on fire for the Lord. And people wanted to follow him. So number one, he sought the Lord, and the Lord is with him. He was blessed because of that, and he had a great blessed starting. Number two, he made a near fatal mistake. And we find this in chapter 18. In verse 1, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. He joined affinity. He made a treaty and affinity. He became joined together and they started becoming friends and working together and became the same cause. He became joined together with Ahab. Well, who's Ahab? If you don't know your Bible very well, Ahab wasn't a good guy. 1 Kings 16, I'm going to read out of there. And verse 30. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. He was a very wicked man. There were some bad, bad kings. So there's two kingdoms here. One was Judah, the southern kingdom. One was Israel, the northern kingdom. Israel, the nation, is split in half. And Jehoshaphat was in the southern kingdom. Ahab was in the northern kingdom. And Ahab was a wicked, wicked man who was married to Jezebel. Okay, literally. And he was so wicked that the nation just went in a total turmoil. God sent a massive famine. He was a wicked, evil, demonic man who had all kinds of idol worship and terrible, terrible actions. He was a man that God refers to a lot of how bad he was. And here's Jehoshaphat, a godly man, tying himself together with this wicked man. And he made that. And guess what? Things turned. He was told later that it was wrong for him to do that in chapter 19 and verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to Jehoshaphat, after the big mess he got himself into, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is his wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Whose wrath? Who was the wrath of God? Jehoshaphat. Because Jehoshaphat joined a person who hated God and a person who is wicked. The Bible says in Corinthians, it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath light with darkness? What fellowship hath he that believeth with an infidel? I want to say, be careful of who you tie yourself to. Be careful who you tie yourself to. I'm not saying you don't be nice to people and talk to them. You would find in one of my weeks that I meet up with some pretty, I go to some pretty messed up people. But I'm not tying my life to them. I'm not marrying them. I'm not moving them in my house. I am not going into a business agreement with them. I'm going to them to reach them and bring them out. But if they want to grab my hand and pull me in, I'm letting go. I'm not going to be in a tug of war with ungodly people. And you say, well, they'll change. That's why I'm going to them. I'm joining up with them. The Bible says don't yoke up with them. Yoking is when you're in one, a yoke with something hooked up two oxen. You hook around one oxen's neck and hope around the other oxen's neck. And now they're hooked together. And now where one goes, the other goes, and you're in a tug of war. Do not yoke up in marriage, in close friendships, in companionships, in business, in roommates. You say, but they need me. Okay, they'll need you from a distance. Let them change and then do that. Do not bring and yoke up with the ungodly people. I could just say, all right, who in here wants to tell me their story about doing that? And I could have a bunch of hands raised. Just please understand, don't misplace compassion. I understand compassion is important. I love people, and I've had people move into my house. but you think I'm going to put an ungodly person with my kids? And I don't even do that often, a godly person. And it's been very rare because I don't want to hook up with them. And he got God mad. And God, and it says, therefore, because you did this, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Boy, he almost, with this fatal mistake, he almost died. He was almost killed. He basically, what happened is he went and they got together and said, let's go fight, and we're going to go have a battle. And after certain years, verse 2, they went to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed all them. And in verse 3, all the sheep and oxen. And Ahab, the king of Israel, went with Jehoshaphat, and will you go with me to Ramoth-Gilead and fight? I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. That should not be. And we will be with thee in war. And Jehoshaphat, now here's the thing I want you to get. Jehoshaphat remained spiritually, said, shouldn't we ask God if we should go to this battle? You might even stay trying to be right with God, but you've still violated Scripture and are in trouble. He said, shouldn't we inquire at God? And Ahab says, sure, I've got 400 prophets over here who will prophesy to us. These prophets were wicked men. They weren't prophets of God. And they did whatever Ahab said. And he said, hey guys, do you think we should go to war? And they said, oh yes, you should go to war. You're going to go win the battle. Because why? He would kill them if they didn't agree with him. And Jehoshaphat in his spiritual discernment says, you know, is there anybody else? Those guys kind of seem really agreeable to me. And he says, I've got one more prophet in this nation, and I hate the guy. He always tells me bad. Doesn't tell me good all the time. And he says, well, call him. He says, I don't want to call him. I don't like him. He hates me. And he always tells me bad. Ahab, that's because God is against you. He tells you the truth. And woe to the people who have itching ears who just want to hear what they want to hear. You need to hear what God has to say, whether you want to hear it or not. Amen? Verse 6, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Besides, these are prophets of Baal, more than likely. He didn't say that we may inquire of him. And he said, yeah, we got one, middle of verse 7, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. His name is Micaiah. So the king called him, and he comes in, and he says, should we go to war? And he says, what do you want me to say? Fine, go to war, you'll be just fine. He says, and he says it mockingly, and he says, see, I don't want you to mock me. Tell me the truth. And he says, you're going to die in the battle. And he says, see, I told you you're going to tell me bad things. When somebody's heart's not right, you can't win. Just trust me. And so he says, all right, I saw a vision from God. God sent an aligned spirit to go tell you to go to battle, so you'll get killed. Now Ahab comes up with this plan. He says, all right, we're going to battle anyway. This guy's nuts. I like my 400 to 1 better, and we're going to go to battle. What we're going to do is I have a plan. Can I tell you this? Oh, how many stories flash into my mind. Ungodly people come up with real good plans, and you find out later those plans were not to your benefit. Those plans, they're very good talkers. And the plan was, I tell you what, Jehoshaphat, we're going to go to battle, and I'm going to dress as a normal person, but you stay in the outfit of the king, and we'll go out to battle together. Don't you love those kind of friends? Because the enemy, first thing he said is, we're going to kill the other king. And they went looking for the king of Israel, Ahab, and they went looking to go kill Ahab. And Ahab, we probably knew this, it doesn't say this, but why would Ahab ask specifically, you dress as the king, I'll stay like this. And the first thing any army says, he told all the soldiers, don't fight anybody, but just go kill the king of Israel. Well, there's only one person dressed like a king out there. He might not even know there's two nations there. But there it is. There's a guy in royal robes, and everybody says, forget it. There he is. Go after him. And immediately, all the enemy soldiers go straight after Jehoshaphat in the middle of this battle. Some friend. You'll find those friends who, let's be friends. And then they say, okay, I need your help. Okay, I want you to do this for me. Okay, I need you. And then when you need them, a friend loveth at all times. Beware of anybody who always just wants to take and doesn't want to give. for God so loved the world that he gave. There's a whole bunch of reasons you don't want ungodly friends. And so they all came at Jehoshaphat, and he's ready to die. Here comes massive enemy soldiers, and Jehoshaphat says, "Oh, my soul, I'm going to die. Here comes a whole army straight toward me." What does Ahab think? What? I'm the king. Ah, why am I dressed like this? And now he's in trouble. And we join it. Let's see, verse 30 of chapter 18. Now the king of Syria commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, "Fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel." The king of Israel is Ahab. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, "This, it is the king of Israel." Therefore they compassed him about, they surrounded him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. That close to dying from his mistake, because he joined with the wrong person. He was that close. Why? Bad friends. And I want to say, fortunately, and this is so good, I'm so glad of this, God is merciful. And he said, "Oh Lord, I'm in trouble, I'm going to die, what should I do?" And God says, "I oughta, but I'm not going to." And God moved all those people and said, "Don't fight with him, move away." And the enemies just started fighting somewhere else. And Jehoshaphat says, "I'm getting out of here." Because God is merciful. And I'm so glad that God doesn't give me the destruction that I deserve sometimes. He's merciful when I mess up. The good thing is he acknowledged it. And he said to God, "God, please help me." And God is merciful to him. Can I tell you, even if you made the mess, you got a merciful God. Even if you got in that trouble because you were foolish, your God is merciful. His mercy endureth forever. Look up how many times the Bible says that. A lot. He's so merciful if we'll let him do that. Number three, he turned it back around. Praise the Lord. He made a big mistake. He almost died from it. He almost ruined his life. And if you've made some mistakes, good news, God's merciful and you can turn it around. Amen? Amen. That's good stuff, preacher. I like that. Good preaching. He turned it back around. Chapter 19, verse 1. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned into his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and them that love and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is his wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee. Thou hast taken away the groves of the land, the idolatry, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. Guess what? They had gone away from God. Why? Because he was hooked up with Ahab, and everything started falling apart. Remember, why was everything established? Because he had God's blessing. He lost God's blessing, and everyone else wandered from God. And when you mess up and you wander from God, expect those that you influence to wander from God too. And he said, "You know what? I am sorry. You know what? We're going to send these teachers back out and bring people back to God. And I'm going to go back to God and get this nation right again. And I'm going to fix these things." And he fixed these things. You see it in verse 4. We see it in verse 5, "And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced city instead of the judges. Take heed to you, judge with good judgment." And verse 7, "Fear ye the Lord, let the fear of God be upon you and do it. There is no sin with God, and ye don't respect people." Verse 9, "He charged them, saying, Thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart, and go and do right and judge a nation and bring justice back again." You know what's just great? He turned it around. I want to say this, if you're still breathing, you can turn it around. If you're still breathing, God can fix your life. If you're still breathing, God can bless you again. If you are still alive, you can turn it around because God is merciful. Doesn't matter, you just made a big boo-boo. You made a big mistake. Okay, God's merciful. Come back and repent, and guess what? God's blessing came on him again. When he turned it around. The devil loves to tell you, "You messed up. It's hopeless. Just keep on the wrong path." And God's saying, "No. You return to me and I'll return to you. I will bless you again. I'm merciful. God is willing to do that. He just got to get it right. He turned it around. Next, he knew where and how to turn when he didn't know what to do. You want to know what to do when you don't know what to do? He shows us right here. First of all, he had a big enemy come after him later in this chapter. And chapter 20, verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Amnon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And so he got this big army coming against him. They're going to come destroy him. And he looks around and says, we're not ready for this. You ever looked around in life at something you got to deal with and say, I'm not capable of this. This is over my head. He didn't know what to do. What did he do? First thing he did is he sought the Lord again himself. He started with him. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. He got himself right with God. That's the first thing to do. Always go to God, confess your sin, and just you get right with him. Don't worry about everybody else at first. Don't worry about all the panic coming at you. Just say, Lord, if there's anything between me and you, reveal it to me. Lord, I'm sorry I did this and this and this. Get yourself right first. Don't even deal with your circumstances. Don't even go and tell everybody else what they're not doing. Just get the mote out of your own eye and you'll be able to see clearly for others. Second thing he did, he called for a fast. It says the end of verse 3, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. And Judah gathered themselves together and to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities. He proclaimed a fast, and they fasted. And then next he prayed with his whole heart. Verse 6, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not the God, thou God of heaven, and rulest thou not over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there no power, and is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? Aren't you God? And he's praying, Lord, aren't you the God who can do anything? And aren't you the God who can deliver and has all power? And he prayed with his whole heart. You know, I think sometimes it's almost good when we get desperate. And I get desperate sometimes because we pray differently. I wish we prayed with all of our heart when it wasn't desperate, because like praying for souls is desperate, but it's not, how do I say this? Praying for somebody to get saved is not as desperate as praying when you're about to be evicted, but it should be. If all of a sudden you found out that you have, the person you love the most in your life has terminal cancer, you might pray desperately. And that's good, because I find out it's good that you pray desperately, not the good they have cancer. That's cheery. And I'm glad all of you have cancer. But you go and you, I know, Pastor, you laugh at everything. I know, it's a weird thing about me. Everything's funny to me. And you go, and then all of a sudden it's just like, God says, I want you to really tell me you love me. And you say, I love you, Lord. And boy, Lord, I really need this. And some things that should be really important, we don't pray that way. But if we have big needs and desperate needs, that passion in our prayer kind of bleeds off into all our praying. And the Lord says, when you pray passionately, when you pray with all your heart, there seems to be different answers. And it seems like you get God's attention a lot more. And if fasting does that, it gets God's attention. And he really prayed with all of his heart. And then he claimed a promise. I love this, verse 8 and 9. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, now he's saying, here's what you said, God. If when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house, the house of God where they were, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. I want to just say this. He grabbed the Bible verse and brought it up to God. God is not obligated to keep the promises that nobody brings up to him. Grab you a promise of the Bible, and I believe this, you will find this in your life, that when you begin praying for something, a verse and a promise will come up to you. and you bring it up to God. People do it all the time in the Bible. Grab you a verse, and it can be ask and you shall receive. And it could be call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou know. It could be a lot of other verses. But you come to God and say, Lord, you promised this. And he claimed a verse. And God had promised that if they went and prayed in their trouble before the house of God and called upon God, God would deliver them. And God has to keep his word. And so he did. He claimed a promise here. He confessed his need and inability. Verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For they have no might against this great company that cometh against, for we have no might against this great company which cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He didn't know what to do, and he admitted it. Boy, we are so cool. We just don't want to ever admit, Lord, I have nothing. We like to be in control, don't we? We like to have the answers, don't we? We like to have the strength, don't we? And then God puts in a position where we need him. And still sometimes we just destroy everything because we don't know what to do and we don't admit it. But when we go to God and say, I don't know what to do here, God. And by the way, if you say, I've never been there before, you're lying through your teeth. Everybody gets there. The most competent, smart, strong people that are Christians get there because God is making them lean on him. Because we are weird, prideful creatures that if we can be in control, we get independent of God. So God, some of us has to put us where we need him more often, where there's no hope, because whenever things are going well, you quit needing God. You need him, you just don't know it until things are going terrible. You need him every hour for everything. You need him for your air and your life and your mind and your thinking and to stay alive and to stay strong and to bear fruit. You need him all the time. But most of us, until some glaring need flies at us, we don't know we need God. Matter of fact, we won't pray a lot until things are really bad. So God says, you need me. And he admitted it. You know what happens when you do that? God's like, boom, got it. All right, now let's work this out. Then now I'll get the glory when I do it. They got there where he knew he needed me. He confessed his inability. And then next thing he did, he brought his family to the Lord. Verse 13, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. God's got a tender heart for children. I think I would see myself being one of those men who maybe messed up and maybe Jehoshaphat and said, all right, Lord, you know I messed up. But Lord, look at them. They don't deserve it because of my mess ups. And I think when you bring your family before God, and I think when you maybe even pray together as a family, I think God says, yeah, I'm concerned about the family. I would bring your children and your family before the Lord and talk to God about them. The Lord cares more about them than we do, and we care about them. And I think he gets his attention. The Lord took complete care of the situation. I won't tell you the whole story. God came in and basically said, you know what? You did so well at that. I mean, you confessed that you didn't know what to do. You came before my house. You prayed with your heart. You called for a fast. You claimed a promise. You told me you needed me. You didn't know what to do. You know what? The Lord says, don't worry about it all. You're not going to have to do anything. I'll fight them for you. And the long and short of this battle is God just went in and said, all right, you guys stay here. Squish, 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 squish. Okay, done. They did so well at getting right and coming to God, God just fixed the whole mess. And the Lord told him, you're not going to have to fight. And I'll just read a couple of verses, the middle of verse 15. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord. Verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just God took care of it. Next, two more quick things. He praised the Lord, verse 20. And they rose up early in the morning and went to the wilderness of Tekoa, and they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe the Lord your God, so shall ye established. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went up before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, praise the Lord set ambushments against them, against their enemies. They praise God. They continued it later after the victory. Before the victory, they praised God, and after the victory, verse 27. And they returned every man to Judah and Jerusalem, and to Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies, and they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord, and they sang and they praised God. I want to say this. Sometime in your life, when you're in time of need, go have a praise fit to God. Get alone, close the door, and say, Lord, you are so good. You saved me from hell. You love me. You've been my father. You've kept me alive. And just start telling him what he's done. Good Lord, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but right now I got a roof over my head, and I got these shoes, and I can see and walk. And just praise the Lord and throw a Holy Ghost fit and become a Baptist-costal and go and get excited about God and praise the Lord and worship the Lord and thank him for what he's done. You'll feel a lot better. And God inhabits his praise. And God starts doing something. And then when God does it, make sure you take time to praise the Lord. And he did that. What happened? Verse 30. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Does that sound familiar? That's where he started, but he messed up. Ready? Don't mess up, so you have to get away from that rest roundabout. It's a lot easier to just stay there than to go and undo it and then get it again. The last thing about Jehoshaphat, this life, and I don't know how this might have spoken to you, last thing about Jehoshaphat is he went back to the same mistakes. We humans are dumb, dumb, dumb. Say that with me. Dumb, dumb, dumb. How many of you sometimes kick yourself for something you do and you say, that was so stupid. Why did I do that? And then 6 months later, a year later, you say, oh, it was so stupid. Why am I doing that again? Dumb, dumb, dumb. Verse 35. His kingdom is established, everything's good. Verse 35. And after this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, joined himself with Ahaziah, the king of Israel, who did very wickedly. Definition insanity. Do something really dumb, bad things happen. Do it again, expect bad things not to happen. Verse 37. The prophet came to him and prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. He was going to go to war, and his ships are broken, and not able to go to Tarshish. She's stuck and lost what he invested. Really simply, don't go back to what ruined you the last time and expect it not to ruin you again. He did it again. The one mistake that is recorded in his life, he did the exact same thing again, and it messed his life up again. That's life with Jehoshaphat. Praise God, God's merciful. Just the second time, don't go back and mess it up again. However God spoke to you, I hope that he gave you something for your life tonight. Let's pray. And Father, we see the life of Jehoshaphat. What an interesting life, Lord. Blessing to messing up, to you being merciful to him, to blessing again, to making the same mistake. An amazing job of repenting and getting you to involved in his life again. Lord, you're so good, but we're prone to wander. Lord, I pray tonight that you speak to us. I pray tonight that whatever part of Jehoshaphat is bad, we would repent of, and whatever part is good, we would grab a hold of and do better. And I pray tonight that whatever you had for us individually, for the people in this building, in this message, that we would just rest like Jehoshaphat in his good times, where he had rest around about him because the Lord is with him. May we dwell in that state and not in the foolish state. So not go back as a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool return to his folly. May that not be us, Lord. Thank you for your word and what it teaches. I pray tonight that the lessons of Jehoshaphat would speak to us. And whatever you have to each one of us individually, you'd right now talk to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes.